Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. Best show of the week. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in beautiful Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We have Enes Kanter of the Blazers on the show today. He's a very funny guy. He looked like he was in pain all night last night, grabbing his hip.
Yeah, he was playing through something.
He was playing through stuff. Rick Bucher, Jeff Schwartz, Jim Jackson, Nick Wright, Joy Taylor. That was her voice you just heard for our radio audience. Joy, how are you? That was wild.
Great game.
That's one of the best playoff games I can ever remember. Seriously, that is the best playoff game I've watched. It almost felt like Golden State and LeBron, Kyrie hitting the shot. I was just completely riveted. So let's start with there. Listen, I'm not going to bring out the hammer on Westbrook today. What's the point? Why be mean-spirited? I'm not a bully. That game wasn't about Westbrook. That game was about Damian Lillard. The series was about Damian Lillard. Westbrook got you to the series. Just like movie stars get you into the theater. And then you watch the movie and you realize there's a new movie star. It's official. Damian Lillard has moved himself in to the top four elite point guards in the league. I'd call them the killers. Steph, Harden, Lillard, and Kyrie. They are the killers. You don't want the ball near their hands with a minute left. Westbrook, okay, I'll be a jerk once. He's the momentum killer. That final sequence, Oklahoma City had this game won. It was going back to the Midwest. The final sequence is what just drives me crazy. Paul George was absolutely on fire. 14 of 20 shots. If it wasn't for Lillard's amazing series, it was a Paul versus Damian series. And Westbrook had the ball, and you'd think you'd want to get it to the hottest guy in the world, not named Damian Lillard, and here's what transpired.
8 on the shot clock and game clock. Westbrook into the lane on Aminu. Forced up a shot. It rolls off. Rebound and chief. In a tie ball game, Damian will bring it up the floor with 14.
You want the last shot.
Damian clears midcourt. He's got 11. Tied at 115. Crowd rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three.
Oh! What?
Blazers win the series. A walk-off three from Lillard. Damian Lillard from way downtown. The most impossible three.
Unbelievable. Again, this is not about hammering Westbrook. I said it yesterday. He's a relentless talent, uneven, a little stubborn for me, but he's moving away from the current game. Lillard is an amazing talent who's moving toward it. That final sequence, one guy put on a 1995 move trying to draw the foul. The other guy pulled up and nailed a 37-footer. It's the way the world works. You can still defend Westbrook, hell of a talent. You can still idolize him, buy his jersey. I get it. He's fun. He got us all into this series. He got us into the theater. I watch him constantly. Westbrook gets me to the theater. But once I watch the movie, I like the new young movie star, the 28-year-old who went to Weber State, who's up in the Northwest. He's the new movie star. He's a killer. By the way, I can put up the stats and the numbers. It was lopsided. One guy averaged 33 a game, one averaged 22, one shot 46%, one shot 36. Westbrook had a minus 43 in the Lillard series. Lillard had a plus 55. Again, there's no reason to drop the hammer. No reason to bag on the old movie star. I just like the new one. I just like the new one. Last night, listen, Westbrook got his triple-double. He's a monster. He's a triple-double monster. He's an athletic tornado. He's unbelievably relentless. But as I said yesterday, the game's moving away from him, and the game is moving toward Russell Westbrook. And I think it's a very difficult time. Royce Young covers this franchise, OKC, and he has been a Westbrook defender as I have been relentlessly on Russell. But he said something in his column last night, and it sounds like to me it's time for something parents do with their kids when they move into teenage years. It's time for the big talk. Royce Young said, when the Thunder were rolling midseason, Paul George might have been the best player in the league. The Thunder took on Paul George's identity. Westbrook happily took a step back. George was the best player, Westbrook the complimentary piece. Westbrook was playing a different style, staying on the ball less, hockey assisting more, taking smarter shots. But then Paul George got hurt, and the Thunder transitioned back to being Westbrook's team. The locker room was more serious and tense, with each game feeling significant, each loss frustrating. Oklahoma City, it's time for the big talk with Russ. You sit him down, and how it lands, it lands. You say, Russ, you got to get your money. We love you. It's the same thing parents tell teenagers, but we're going to have a little sea change here. This is Paul George's franchise. Last night, Westbrook took 11 more shots than Paul George. We just can't have that. We just, going forward, that can't be the case anymore. It's the big talk the parents give the teenage kids. Now, the parents have an advantage. They've got built-in authority. They're parents. You're 16. Westbrook has a 4-year deal, and they've enabled him. Ice cream for breakfast. Hugs after losses. Defending him after bad performances. I'm not sure how it's going to land. I did like Westbrook after the game. Put his glasses on. Was humble. Admitted he wanted to look in the mirror. So if you're okay, see, there's hope. I did like this from Westbrook last night.
My process always look at myself first and figure out what I could have done better throughout the whole season to put my team position to be able to win games. That's all I look at and figure out how I can be better, coming back and how I could have did better to help us win the game.
Like that a lot. It's no time for me to be a bully. No time for me to hammer Westbrook. He got us all into the theater. There's just a new, cooler movie star now. Damian Lillard. Let me shift to this. Damian shot was the 37-footer heard around the world. And after the game, Paul George says, I don't like that shot.
I mean, that's a bad shot. Care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, and James Harden. That's not a bad shot. That's a new shot. And there's a big difference. Damian Lillard was 8 of 12 from 30-plus feet. 4 of 6 last night. Steph Curry has changed this game. If the NBA had a new logo, you know the old one, it's Jerry West. If they had a new one, it should be Steph Curry launching from 33 feet. I do not believe last night was a bad shot. It's a new shot. This is what the new logo should look like. Steph from 34. Russell Wilson has done this to the National Football League. Russell Wilson has proved athletic, 5'11", occasionally run for first downs. That can win Super Bowls too. That can be the cornerstone of an NFL franchise too. Smaller, run around a lot, hyper-athletic, make throws. But Steph Curry has changed the NBA. That's not a bad shot. It's a new shot. And Russell Wilson is why Kyler Murray gets drafted and why 5'11.5", Baker Mayfield gets drafted and why Johnny Manziel got drafted, and why next year there's going to be another 5'11", 6-foot guy that's going to get drafted. LeBron did this a lot in the NBA. He was a positionless player. It used to be the point guard was a 1, shooting guard was a 2, small forward was a 3, the power forward was a 4, and the center was a 5. And then LeBron came in and went, hey, we got this guy in Cleveland. Yeah, he can do all that stuff. He can do 1 through 4 easy and 5 if we have to. And LeBron sort of made the league really labelless and really positionless. I just think in pro football, 70 years ago, they used to use this term. Well, it's the forward pass. Because apparently before that, they had backward passes. Now it's just you pass. It used to be called the forward pass. Then the game changed. This is what Amazon has done to retail. They've eliminated malls. It used to be you'd say, are you going to do some online shopping? And that's no longer a term. Now all shopping is online shopping. They're game changers. Steph Curry, Russell Wilson, and Amazon. That was not a bad shot. Not a lot of others can take it, but it's a new shot for Damian Lillard, Harden, and Steph Curry.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
NFL draft is tomorrow. The number one story is obviously Arizona. What are they going to do with the number one pick? So I'm hearing a million things. Mel Kiper yesterday said it's 99% sure Arizona's taken Kyler Murray. Peter King agrees. Joel Klatt said this week he's got a source. Antonio Bryant, a former NFL player, says no, they're taking Nick Bosa. The coach of Arizona, Cliff Kingsbury, said we're still working through it. I'm getting a million different angles on this. Here's kind of where I fall on this, is that the fact that they're still considering taking Kyler Murray, that's basically code for we're taking him. We're just waiting for the best offer for Josh Rosen. That's what it feels like for me. If you're still talking about this and aren't closing the door on it, that tells me you're just sitting around waiting for a better phone call. Washington, New York, somebody gives you a better phone call. Maybe the Chargers, who knows. I will say this, first of all, selfishly, I work at Fox. We have the NFC. Selfishly, I'd love to see Kyler Murray go to Arizona because it's a really interesting team. I'm going to have a division on the West Coast with Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, and Jimmy G. Yeah, I'll take that, please. Fox, we have that division. And for us here in the building, it's great for business. Arizona's unwatchable. They'll be like Cleveland last year with Baker. Can't keep your eyes off him. So selfishly, I'd love to see it happen. And I also selfishly, I know Josh Rosen and his mom. I'd like to see him go somewhere that he's got a shot to succeed, like a New York, where they've got some nice offensive pieces. Yesterday, a bunch of stuff came out on Kyler Murray. This is the way it always works out. People get anonymous. They take shots at all these young quarterbacks. This happened to Rosen right before he got picked. Nobody liked him, blah, blah, blah. Now they're coming out to attack Kyler Murray. Said one anonymous scout, I'd be scared to death to take him. He does not like the process of Monday to Saturday. He just loves Sunday. All right, okay, that's fair. And here's another guy comes out and he says, Baker had an elite skill, accuracy. Kyler's accurate. Not anywhere near Baker. Baker's like a gym rat. Everybody loves him. Kyler, I don't think he's a big film football guy. He's like, hey, I'll do whatever the coaches say, make plays. Well, I would say there's a lot more ways than one way to lead. Here's the way I look at it. The world's evolving. Just like basketball went from two-point shot to three, the world's evolving with quarterbacks. So we got to just understand it's not the same old, same old. You can still hit Chris Paul still shoots mid-range shots. Kevin Durant still hits mid-range shots. You can still score that way, and you can still be an immobile quarterback. Matt Ryan, Jared Goff. But you got to remember, here's my whole thing. If you decide to take Kyler Murray, then you got to go all in on this stuff because he's going to spill some paint. Kyler Murray reminds me of three players: Russell Wilson, Johnny Manziel, and Michael Vick. Two of those three were successful. Josh Rosen reminds me of three quarterbacks: Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, and a little academic Peyton Manning, kind of a brainiac. All three were successful. But that's five out of six that were successful. And Johnny Manziel may have been, but he had an addiction issue. Both ways work. But if you go in on Kyler Murray, it's a non-traditional way to do it. And you may not have all your coaches in the room that buy it. You may have an old football coach that likes a pocket guy. What you got to do is what Seattle struggled initially to do: hand the franchise over to him. Seattle pushed back on Russell for about 3 years. Now it's Marshawn's team. It's Pete's team. It's Richard Sherman's team. No, it was Russell's team. You were in 7-9, 7-9 before Russell Wilson got there. And he started winning you games, not cornerbacks and not head coaches. The quarterback did. So you got to build a staff that is all in on Kyler Murray and totally support him. And this just isn't a football topic. When you do something that's new to a market, you got to have everybody all in. You don't want snipers in the building. You don't want negative old guy in the building. You got to go all in on it. Russell Wilson had to kind of overcome first couple of years in Seattle, a lot of doubters, some of them in his own locker room, some of them on defense, some of them on the staff. Because when you're doing something a new way, all these rookie quarterbacks stumble. They all stumble. Baker had a three-interception game. Peyton Manning had his third year in the league, I think, had like 30 picks or something. So when you try something new and you're a rookie quarterback and you're going to stumble, you don't want snipers in the building going, yeah, I told you he's too short. Yeah, I told you, the runaround guy. You got to go all in on him. And I think Cliff Kingsbury would be all in on him. So I think you can win both ways. You can win with Rosen. It's got a very Peyton Manning, I need good tackles, I'm a distributor, I'm pre-snapping it to death. Or they can go Kyler Murray, who's more instinctive, he's more of a creator than he is a distributor. I'm okay with both. And I think we're moving, like the three-point shot in basketball, we're moving toward the Kyler Murray style, and we're slowly moving away from the Josh Rosen style. But at this point, a lot more Super Bowls won the Rosen style than the Kyler style. Selfishly, it's a fascinating move. It's a fascinating move. The NFL has got something going right now that's really cool. Really unwatchable teams are becoming fascinating overnight. We've always watched the Cowboys. We always watch the Patriots. We always watch the Steelers. We always watch the Packers. But these awful teams, Cleveland and boring Jets, and suddenly they're like, you can't take your eyes off them. And Arizona would go from unwatchable to you'd literally wake up Sunday and go, what time is Arizona on? And it's a really good thing for the league. And my gut feeling is Arizona is going to be Kyler Murray's team here within 24 hours.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, I'm very interested to see the reaction this morning from my friend Nick Wright on First Things First, co-host with Chris Carter. So let's go via the Coward Global Satellite Network. First, your reaction. Second, where do the Thunder go from here?
Well, the reaction on the Dame side of things is you're right that he is one of, in my mind, two guys who that's not a bad shot for that walk the face of the earth, him and Stephen Curry. And Damian Lillard, to come back from what was the highest point and the lowest point of his professional career last year, first team All-NBA for the first time, has his team in great position to advance in the playoffs without LaMarcus Aldridge, and then they're swept out by an undermanned Pelicans team. To follow that up with this series, this moment, a 50-point playoff game, something Kareem never did, Shaq never did, Steph and KD never have done, and this shot right there, it's an unbelievable story for a guy who has jumped a few tiers in the current NBA pantheon. Now, to what you're really interested in, the Russell Westbrook libel that is no longer libel. You do that incredibly annoying segment where Colin was right. This is where Colin was right. I don't know what to say other than he is our generation's Iverson. And that's not a bad thing, but in 2019, it is not necessarily a good thing. And I even brought a few numbers along to support you. Here is how Oklahoma City Thunder seasons have ended the last seven times they've been in the playoffs. With Russ going 11 of 28, 4 of 20, 8 of 23, 7 of 21, 15 of 34, 18 of 43, and then last night, 11 of 31. Like, a lot of shots, not a lot of makes, some bad decisions. I love him. I adore how hard he plays. But is he a super high-level, effective player in 2019? Unfortunately, this appears to be where Colin was right.
Well, as your mentor, I am not going to hammer my young stallion today. So let's move to something that is more interesting for both of us. Where do you go from here if you're the Thunder, Nick? Where do you go from here?
Yeah. So, my partner Chris Carter today said you build your team around Paul George. They are obviously capped out. They've got four more years of Russ at $170 million. They got two more years at Steven Adams of $53 million. They got Paul George locked up. They're paying Schroeder $30 million over the next 2 years. So, this is going to be your team plus Roberson coming back. I am really skeptical that a team built around Paul George can get to where they need to get to. Here's why. We saw Russell Westbrook as a secondary option with the best player on the team being Kevin Durant. And that team had a ceiling. Paul George is great. He's not Kevin Durant. And Russell Westbrook might not be as good now as he was then. So if with a younger, more athletic Russell Westbrook as your number two and Kevin Durant as your number one, you had a ceiling. What are you when it's Paul George as your number one and Russ and this version of Russ as your number two? Next year, the NBA is going to be different, Colin, because KD's going to be in New York and a lot more teams are going to feel like they have a chance. But OKC is a tier below the teams that are a tier below. Portland is excited for next year. Utah's excited for next year. But OKC in the last years hasn't been able to get past Portland, hasn't been able to get past Utah, and there's no Melo to blame this time. They're in a rough spot, which is, I know we're not talking Lakers, and you talked about a Mad Libs of awful Lakers quotes, Kurt Rambis interviews Jason Kidd. The hell is going on? But that's why the Lakers should call Sam Presti and say, hey, man, we got a parachute for you if you think this team that you've built has reached its ceiling and it's not great.
Yeah, no, I think what they're going to be, to answer your question, if you have Paul George as the guy and Russell as your two, you're the best version of what you can be. And I think that's better than the worst version of what you can be, where Paul kind of waits for Westbrook to make the decision. So let's segue to this.
Yeah, but it's not a championship contender.
No.
And that's the killer.
Yeah, you know, it's not. And by the way, it's not. It's Utah didn't win a championship. Phoenix and Barkley didn't. Sure. We have a history of really great teams not winning championships and really talented teams. I don't think we can just take the hammer out and beat up Russell Westbrook solely. Paul George's shoulder was an issue. Steven Adams you can't have Steven Adams on the floor late in these big games. Billy Donovan, good coach, great. I'm not sure. Sam Presti let Harden go. So I don't think it's all on Westbrook. It's easy today to blame him for everything, but I thought even last night he had some magical moments. Let's shift to this. You're in New York City. I'm a big believer in you whiffed on Sam Darnold, don't whiff on Dwayne Haskins. Big, strong, not super athletic. Everything I hear about Haskins, other than sort of plodding feet, I like. What is your takeaway in New York, reading the New York papers every day? They got the sixth pick in the 17th. They've got an old Eli. Where do the Giants go from here?
I think they should take Haskins, but my take is that everything that I'm hearing and what I'm reading, and it seems my TV partner and good friend Chris Carter's got real intel on this, he just won't quite say, which is they're going defense at 6 and hoping to get their quarterback at 17. And that right there is a broken philosophy. There is a truism when it comes to the NFL draft, and we will see teams screw it up this year, and that is this. If a quarterback is worth any first-round pick, then he is worth more than every other player in the draft other than quarterbacks who are better. And by that, I mean this. There is no career arc for a quarterback where he goes 17 and it's a good pick, but it would have been a bad pick at 6. If you take a quarterback in the first round and it 10 years later it was a good pick, it's because he's a franchise guy. If you take a quarterback in the first round and 10 years later it's a bad pick, it's because he wasn't. So this idea that, oh, there's a quarterback we like, but we don't like him at 6, well, then you sure as hell better not like him at 17, because there is no player that fits that narrow window. Bad pick at 6, good pick at 17. So if the Giants pass on a quarterback at 6, that better mean they're not going quarterback at all. If they go Ed Oliver at 6, and the kid from Duke at 17, then Dave Gettleman is exactly what I think he is, in over his head and trying to play caveman football, because that guy does not exist. Teams get this wrong every year. If you believe in a quarterback enough to take him in the first round, then he is more valuable than every other player taken in that first round, except for quarterbacks who are better. Why they won't do what's staring him in the face. Oh, the kid who played a pro-style offense, who's the right size, who won every game he played but one, broke all of Ohio State's and Drew Brees' Big Ten records. We don't want him. I don't get it, but I don't get a lot of things the Giants have done over the last couple years.
Totally agree. Finally, Arizona, Kyler Murray, Kuiper said it's going to happen. Joel Klatt, Peter King, couple players said it's not. What's your take on the whole situation?
It's going to happen, but this is another thing that I wouldn't do. You can't blame your awful season on the coach and then also say, but our quarterback stunk, and the guy who picked the coach and traded up for the quarterback, he gets to pick the new coach and help pick the new quarterback. It doesn't make any damn sense. Arizona has this, an aging Hall of Fame wide receiver, a superstar corner, a very good pass rusher, and a running back who was good a couple years ago. We'll see what he is now, and that's it. Use that number one pick. Call up John Gruden, who is dying for it. Get Oakland's pick at 4. Get the pick they got from Dallas. Get another pick. Support Josh Rosen. Instead of giving him the 32nd ranked run offense and the 32nd ranked pass blocking O-line, and build a football team. That's what you should do. What they will do is draft Kyler Murray, sell Josh Rosen to the Patriots for 40 cents on the dollar, and your guy Tom Brady is going to get the handoff to my guy Josh Rosen, and I'm getting sick just thinking about it.
It always works out well for the Patriots. By the way, listen, you're going to be right a lot going forward. A little, you took the wrong exit off the Westbrook Freeway, but I'm there for you. I'm your support system. And I want you to sleep well.
Listen, I want you to know, I'm sad for Russ because I love him. When it comes to me and this, it's really good for these spots that you finally got an NBA thing right. So I'm happy for us. We were going to have to cut these things off. Like, I'm glad you got one, Colin. You got one in the win column. We'll keep it moving.
All right. Good seeing you, buddy. Nick Wright.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What's the hardest thing in the world to do? Lift big weight. Run real fast. I contend the hardest thing in the world to do is to get successful people to change. They just don't. Money makes us think we're smarter than we are. Success is a body armor. It is really hard to get smart people to change. Smart, successful people. And I'd put successful more than smart. Some people that are successful aren't that smart. They're just successful for whatever reasons. Bobby Knight. Really successful. Bobby, one and done, game's changing. Just wouldn't change. Bobby Knight, the coach, is Russell Westbrook, the player. Russell Westbrook's really successful. If you'd have told any parent that your son at 12 years old is going to be an NBA superstar, have a $100 million shoe deal, make $300 million playing basketball, and win the MVP, would that be a successful child? Yes, Russell's really successful. But he's not going to change. You cannot change his game. That would be changing his personality. If you told Russell, be more passive, that would be total weakness. That's not who he is. So Charles Barkley suggested what I think is the only way to fix this OKC problem. And again, they're a playoff team. It's not the end of the world. They win a bunch of games. They sell out their arena. There are bigger problems in the NBA, basically 20 teams below them. But here's what Charles Barkley suggested OKC do.
I think it's time to move Russ to the two because I think he's too aggressive offensively.
You play Schroeder and Westbrook together all the time?
Yes, because I think he's so good and aggressive. He's always driving at 100 miles an hour. He should drive at 55, sometimes raise to 70. You don't drive your car at 100 all the time.
This is what you do. Schroeder's the one, Russell's the two. You cannot change Westbrook's game, because asking to change his game would be changing his personality. But you can change his position. You can change his position. He's a little stubborn as a dude. His game's a little stubborn. Okay, so let's change the position. It's futile. There was a moment this year, they were having a media scrum. It was in March. It was after kind of a bad loss. And somebody suggested during the media scrum the next day at shoot around about changing. And Westbrook snapped, I'm reading it here, change what? Have I changed in 11 years? Westbrook interrupted. No, you're not going to change his game. And I just don't think, by the way, what Barkley said is what I said about John Wall when he broke into this league. I said this 8 years ago about John Wall. I said he's going to be going 100 miles an hour. And it's a 70-mile-an-hour league, is that Westbrook and John Wall and Iverson, to a large degree, were playing by themselves. You can still get 8 assists and play by yourself when you have the ball in your hands. But I think what you have to do is you have to move Russ to the 2. Schroeder's at the 1. He's a solid player. Paul's your 3. Adams is your big. And then you got to go out and draft another shooter or 2. Do whatever you can to fix that issue. But I think Barkley's right here. And I think Russell, the player, reminds me of Bobby Knight, the coach. Once you get successful and have stacks of money and you've got rings and awards, MVP and coach of the year and titles, getting successful people to change, about the only way you can do it is if you walk up to them and say, listen, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to die. Well, I'm going to die? Okay, I'll change. I heard a doctor say that once. He said, it's much easier to get some people to change that don't have options. He said, once people are successful and have options, to convince them in a doctor's office to change their lifestyle, they don't want to do it. Hey, look at me, I'm successful. He goes, the one way to change is you're going to die if you don't change. Okay, I'll change. I'll stop smoking. I'll stop eating, you know, pork chops for breakfast or whatever you eat. And I think with Russ, you just change his position. You still say, play your butt off, be a human tornado, be relentless, be athletic. Don't screw with his game. It is what it is. We're just not going to give you 31 shots. You're going to get 19 because Schroeder's going to make different decisions on who to pass the ball to.
Well, this is the difference between being great and being the greatest, right? You have to evolve. It's hard to get to the top. It's harder to stay at the top. That's why athletes like Tom Brady or LeBron are so fascinating, because they've been able to be great for such a consistent amount of time.
And evolve.
And evolve, because the game is not going to stay the same, no matter what sport or what company or what business you're in. Everything changes. You have to stay with it and find the way to be great with that change.
Yeah. Chris Carter talked about that on First Things First this morning, what he would do if he ran the Oklahoma City Thunder.
The change that needs to be made is the franchise needs to revolve around Paul George. I need to somehow get him healthier for the playoffs. Let's not forget, George didn't play well in the playoffs, but justifiably, he did have a bad shoulder injury. He was spectacular the first two-thirds of the season. So for me, if I'm the franchise, all right, Paul George is going to be the guy. And when I start getting in games like this, I'm going to lean on him more, because it's easier, too, when your leader is a two-way player compared to being the way Russ and the way Russ plays the game.
And I think I talked about this to start the show an hour ago. Parents do this all the time. They sit down and have the big talk with their teenagers, and it's uncomfortable. But parents always have the built-in authority. They're parents. I think you sit down and you try to – there's an old saying in coaching. As you're kicking a guy in the butt, you're patting him on the back. And you're going to kick Russ in the butt and pat him on the back. You're going to say, Russell – we love what you bring to the table. We love your athleticism. We love your intensity. We're going to move you to the two, and it's going to be the same game. Because if you ask him to change his game and his position, you lost him. You just ask him, I'm going to move you over to the two. There'll still be times you'll have the ball, but we got to get we want to be a more distribution based at the point, and Schroeder's our guy. And so you have the big talk with him, and how it lands. You've enabled him for a long time. I don't have a lot of pity for OKC. If I could see this coming 3 years ago, and I don't work in a front office, OKC should have seen this coming 5 years ago. I shouldn't be able to get it right before a team. Okay, I've been on this for like 3.5 years now. This is not, you can't win with this. I could bring out the hammer today on Westbrook. There's no point in that. I won the debate. The key is now, where do you go from here? And I think Barkley's right. Just move him over, Schroeder in, Westbrook too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Enes Kanter has been in the NBA for 8 years, most famously with the Thunder and the Knicks, but at the trading deadline, Portland decided to roll the dice and bring in Enes Kanter. He has been incredibly valuable. He was huge in this series, had to go up against Steven Adams. And via the Coward Global Satellite Network, Enes Kanter, one of the good dudes in the NBA. Okay, so you played with Russ, and you played with Dame. You played with both of them. How are they different to play with? Let's start with that.
Man, well, I'll say Russ first. Playing with Russ, it's so... it could be so tough sometimes, because when you are, like, I think I said this before in your show, when you are his teammate, you cannot talk to nobody, you cannot look at nobody, or, you know, just focus on your game. You can talk to whoever after. But I think playing with Dame is so much different, because, I mean, he always keep his coolness, always keep his calmness. And I mean, they're both amazing players, really, really good leaders. But, man, Dame is just another level, man. I cannot say enough about that guy.
What did you make of the shot? Were you surprised he took that shot last night?
Well, actually, he was working on that shot in the morning in a shoot-around practice. And then he took those shots. I was like, what is he doing? You know, because I never see anybody take those shots before. And he was working on it this morning. And then when he shot that ball, I'm like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And then when he made it, I'm like, It's unbelievable. You know, he made the same shot 5 years ago against Houston, and I was in Turkey watching that game with my dad. I'm like, this is something so special. And now here, 5 years later, I'm his teammate and witnessed that shot. It's just, it's unbelievable, man.
When the shot went in, what was it like being in that arena? Is that the greatest moment of your basketball life in America? The excitement, the arena, what was it like?
I will say I've been playing this NBA basketball. This is my 8th year, and I never see. It's probably one of the greatest play I've ever seen. The crowd was going crazy, place was going crazy, and the best part is, Dame just turned around and just waved him bye bye, because there was so much trash talking during this series. Just because he turned around and waved him bye bye, it just. I was like, wow, this is so cool, man.
By the way, last night you were grabbing your thigh. You had a shoulder injury. You were grimacing. Ennis, it looked like you were in pain for much of that night. Yes. What was it? I mean, it just looked like you were in pain, were you?
Well, I wasn't. Well, I mean, going against Steven Adams is not easy, man. He's probably one of the strongest, maybe the strongest guy in the whole league. But, you know, I separated my shoulder first quarter. And then I just didn't want to quit. And then I went in the locker room in a halftime. They give me an injection. And I was like, they asked me if I can play. I said, you know what? Yes, let's go out there and just finish this job. So I just went out there, literally play with one arm. And I try to do the best I can to just stay in the game, man.
Well, you were there big last night of note. You know, just to ask you, Portland obviously moves on. It's a great win. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible feeling. Do you worry that last night was so emotional and so crazy? Will Portland be able to duplicate that going forward? Or you know, because I worry about that. When a team plays its greatest game, they can come out flat the next series. Are you worried about that?
Yes. I feel like this team have enough talent to beat every team on every court. All we got to do is just play hard, play smart, stay together and have fun. And I say this even the playoff stars. I feel like this team, we have enough talent to win a championship. But we just have to pay attention to little details and just go out there and have fun, man. Because when you have Dame and CJ in your team, those are the guys that make themselves better and make everybody else better around them. And that's what makes them really special. So that's why I'm really excited about this second round and third round. And maybe I hope the finals, man. It's going to be a very interesting basketball.
So this series had a lot of trash talk.
A lot.
I mean, it was yap, 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 yap. Now,
on the court, too. You don't know about that. A lot of the trash talk because it was on the court. And I was hearing it. It was unbelievable.
So now, are you a trash talker? If you and I were playing and you were going to trash talk me, like what's your trash talk?
See, when I was with OKC, just because of Russell was trash talking almost the whole league, I was a trash talker. Now I saw Dame. So I was like about to trash talk. Dame came up to me and said, hey, man, stay cool and stay calm. Don't worry about none of this. Let's just win. And this is our job. So I was like, okay. So I did not say a word to Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook, or Paul George. The whole series, I was like, you know what? This is what leaders want us to do. So just go out there, keep your calm, be cool, and just win it. And just turn around and say bye-bye.
Yeah, that is awesome. So were you a good trash talker?
I was actually, you know, I actually was my when I was with OKC, but after I signed with Portland, man, I did not say a word.
Yeah. Finally, I think Damian Lillard now is one of the four great point guards in the league. I think it's Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Damian Lillard. To me, those are the killers. Those are the four best point guards in the league. Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree. I know you don't like Russell, but I will put definitely Russell in the top five. But Dame is definitely up there.
It's not that I don't like Russell. It's his game that drives me crazy. Didn't it? It drove you crazy once in a while, didn't it?
It does, yes. I'll be honest, yes, it does too. I mean, that's how he get himself going. He has, you know, he has to fire it up. He has to yell, try to get under people's skin. He has to rock the baby. But that's just how his personality. But, that's what gets him going.
Yeah. Hey, Enes Kanter, congratulations to you and the city of Portland. We love having you on the show. And continued success going forward, man. You guys are a blast to watch.
My favorite show, my man. Thank you so much. Always nice talking to you.